tonight to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Carolee Dobson, we're trying to, what did they used to say, effort her standing by. But she was scheduled to be on, sometimes being out in the 2nd Congressional District, especially the rural parts of our state. It can be tricky with the cell signal, so hopefully she'll call in here shortly. In the meantime, you want to text me, 251-343-0106. Let us know what's on your mind, and we'll respond accordingly. But the question I put out there, like some of you listening, I know some of you probably have some kind of political something that is political on your automobile. Have you ever been confronted about it? Anyway, that's not what happened here, but this is my suspicion. Up in Limestone County, it's the very last county before you go into Tennessee on Interstate 65, if you ever drive up to Nashville. And right off of 65 there at 72 in Athens, that's my, if those of you familiar with the area, that's where WVNN, my old stomping ground, is right there off the interstate in Athens. But a little further down the road going toward Huntsville on Highway 72 is the Limestone County Republican Party headquarters. And I think they very heavily branded the Trump stuff as, Trump 2024, as if Donald Trump's not going to win Limestone County. But, anyway, the point being is that there was some kind of road rage incident or something to that effect that led to a confrontation in a Lowe's parking lot in Athens, Alabama. The Alabama Republican Party, very, very aggressive here in their reaction to it. Now, Chairman Walls from Limestone County, the north part of Limestone County. And the mayor in Athens, well, not him directly, but the police there in Athens are very like, no, this is for some reason. And this is just weird to me. Like almost immediately before they had like completed their investigation, put out a press release, sent it to the media declaring that this was not a road rage incident. I mean, not a politically motivated incident. It was more likely a road rage incident. Why they felt the need to do that at all is interesting, but they did. And my guess is this, that there were, maybe it was both. This person, pulled out or whatever and had all this Trump stuff on her automobile and it led to a back and forth. I don't know. But you have me thinking, like, how many of you have ever been in the situation where you have something that is political on your car, on your automobile, on your truck, and somebody decides to confront you about it? The only time that's ever happened to me, it's never been about politics. It's just Auburn. I did have somebody, I was driving down Interstate 95. I think it's South Georgia. Like when you get past Brunswick on your way into Jacksonville. And I got, you know, I'm back in the day when I was driving a pickup truck. I got my Auburn stuff on there. And some guy just pulls up next to me, flipping me the bird. And he's like, but his car is all like adorned with Florida Gator stuff. Only time this has ever happened. I mean, yeah, sure, if you ride into Baton Rouge on game day with your, you know, humongous Auburn flag, you get a little pushback. But, like, never just randomly, except then. 251-343-0106. Don writes, good morning, Jeff. I once had a Confederate flag as the headliner in one of my lifted four wheels. Drives. When I lived in Atlanta, in my younger years, we used to ride around Stone Mountain on the weekends until one day I was pulled over and told that the headliner had to come down because it was offensive to some park goers. My bumper sticker read, that was plenty visible, read Heritage, not Prejudice. Why is it wrong for any of us to be proud of our heritage and where we came from? But now those days are gone, it seems. Well, we keep moving the goalpost. Would it be appropriate for you have done that with a Nazi flag? Probably not. And the political correct left wing crowd is very steeped in symbolism. I think the Confederate flag never really. It harkened back to institutions of the past. You would include slavery, the battle flag, that is. But like, no one was thinking, yay, racism, slavery, when they had the Confederate flag out. It was just kind of like, hey, I'm like redneck and proud. And there's a cultural value to that, kind of, rejecting high society. Rejecting, my grandparents. Very, almost kiddingly to a degree, but Yankees. I mean, their grandparents are probably like, you go back far enough, lived during Reconstruction. Lived during the Civil War. You trace that lineage. And it took some time for Southerners to get over the Civil War. But like in that 100 years after the Civil War, I mean, there was still Confederate flags. There's still Confederate flags today, but not like, I mean, but no one was thinking, yay, racism. And then for some reason over time, I guess, be it David Duke and the Ku Klux Klan or whatever, it just became synonymous with racism. Ask Will Dismukes how it worked out for him. But Don, I don't have a good answer other than the shifting goalposts of our time. And I fully anticipate that someday radio shows like mine will be taboo. Not if they aren't already. Unnamed Texter. I was wondering the same thing last night. Haven't met one person that has met him. I've met him once in the League of Women Voters. Trying to remember what you were referring to there. Unnamed Texter. Matt, hey, Jeff, personally, I think Senator Sessions was on the right side of the law. This is where I started parting ways of President Trump. Sessions was out in a tough spot based on Trump's actions while in office. I know that's not a popular opinion, but don't make it any less true. He could have pushed back a little bit more. I think it's absolutely fair. We litigated this during the 2020 U.S. Senate race. And, like, going back and observing, like, Jeff Sessions is an interesting figure in the whole Trump saga because he's there at the first Mobile rally. But I remember talking to his people. They were real careful not to say that Jeff Sessions was endorsing Trump. They just said he came to Mobile, wanted to welcome him, and that's his hometown. But didn't want to deal. Sessions didn't want to deal with his Senate colleagues, Ted Cruz, et cetera, who were running. So they, and then ultimately Jeff Sessions did endorse Trump, but it took a little while. And it's just like, well, then he's like, to the victor goes the spoils. And from that point forward, I don't know what Jeff Sessions had anticipated was going to happen out of that experience. But he should have known that he was going to be put in a situation with Donald Trump when he accepted that job. No, actually, I should take that back. He asked for the attorney general's job. And he could have been DHS secretary or something of that nature and probably have survived much longer. Anyway, joining us now on the line, she's running in the 2nd Congressional District here in Alabama against Shamari Figures, who we can't track down for some reason since the runoff here a few weeks ago. But Carolee Dobson's on the line. Carolee, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on. Well, how's the campaign going?
It's been great. We were in Washington, D.C. last week. Senator Britt, joined by the entire Republican Alabama delegation and some folks, some House members from outside the state, were very kind to host a reception on my behalf last week. And we had a great crowd and a lot of positive momentum about this race. You know, I think nationally, folks are starting to look at this race. Again, typically, as you know, Alabama is not a swing state, so people aren't used to looking to Alabama for swing races. But, you know, in this case, this certainly is one of the more contentious House races in this cycle. Reuters named it one of the top 11 races to watch. And then just yesterday, Elise Stefanik named me as one of the candidates that she is pushing this cycle through her EPAC. She usually picks between five and seven candidates that she in contentious races that she's supporting. And so I was very, very honored to be included on her list.
Well, that's why I wanted to get you on this morning to talk a little bit about that, because to me, I mean, it's good to get that endorsement and have that association. But do you get the sense something like that, something moving like that, is going to maybe ingratiate your effort more to some of these outside national Republican groups to come in and help out in this race?
No, I definitely think, you know, Republicans throughout the nation should be interested in this race, again, given the slim majority in the House, and given the fact that, you know, while it's technically a D plus four district, if you superimpose the lines of the district, in 2022, for instance, Governor Ivey actually won this district by over 3,000 votes. So it's not just a district that's in play that's a long shot. There is a high probability that a Republican wins this fall, and that's what we're bound and determined to do. So, and I think also, you know, you look at some of the other swing districts throughout the nation, and they're in really expensive media markets. You know, Kevin McCarthy's seat, for instance. You know, there's some swing districts in Ohio, North Carolina. All of those are pretty expensive compared to the second district of Alabama. So that's what we're also trying to accomplish in D.C. is getting folks focused on this race and letting them know that, you know, any national groups or even other House members or Senate members that contribute in this race, their dollar's really going to go far compared to, say, a swing district in California where it's $2 million a week for TV. I think there's a lot of interest. And then also, you know, for those wanting to play in swing districts, this is a good bang for your buck.
Well, tell me something here. You want this outside help to come in. Kind of describe like what that is. I mean, obviously monetary financial support is a no brainer, but like when we talk about like the NRCC or the RNC or any other group, I mean, what, and I know you can't really comment on like super PACs or whatever, but when you talk about these more like direct resources, like what do you need to better your effort here?
Yeah, well, it's going to be a combination, of course, you know, especially as we get post Labor Day, you know, the TV buys are going to be incredibly important. But then you also just can't replace the grassroots efforts. And so that's why I'm so grateful, for, the county Republican parties throughout the district, for the state party, Chairman Wall, and for, Republican parties, you know, outside of the district in the state, for instance, Coffee County and Baldwin County, they've already approached our team about wanting to help and be on the ground and door knock. So, it's, I mean, again, you know, financial support funding is incredibly important, especially given the fact that the DCCC is going to be pouring a lot of money into Shamari's campaign. But you cannot replace just the organizational superiority of the Republican Party in this state and the enthusiasm that folks have already shown to be on the ground and just, you know, be a force to deploy with respect to so many grassroots efforts. So I am incredibly grateful for support from the party, both within the district and without.
We're joined by Carolee Dobson here real quick. We're a little short on time, but I wanted to ask you before we get you out of here, kind of react to what we're seeing in New York City in this lawfare situation with Donald Trump. You have some legal expertise here, but what do you make of what do you see that's going on?
Well, no, I mean, again, I think that this is absolute, persecution and lawfare. It's the, could not be a better word to describe it. I'm grateful to see, I actually was with Steve Marshall last night at a law enforcement appreciation dinner over in Pike County. And hearing his take on it was really interesting. I was glad to see Alabama was well represented in supporting President Trump, both with Attorney General Marshall and with Senator Tuberville. But again, I despite the efforts of those on the left that are trying to use this to undermine President Trump's credibility, to keep him out of the race, I think it is only rallying not only those on the right, but those who also don't want to be subject to this type of lawfare themselves, don't want to see our justice system should be focused on, just principles on which our, Constitution was written, weaponized politically. And again, I think that's a huge distinction between me and my opponent, because until, a few months ago, he was assistant to Merrick Garland. He was complicit in Biden's weaponized DOJ. I think that's a matter of concern, not only for Republicans, but for folks everywhere witnessing this.
Yeah, probably a lot of people don't realize that. I mean, like, he was right there, to use a term we throw around a lot, part of the deep state in the Biden administration there. So,
on the one hand,
there's a lot to learn about Shamari figures.
Mm-hmm, certainly. And under Biden, the Department of Justice is targeting political enemies, but at the same time being lenient on true criminals. So it's, not only that it's being weaponized for political purposes, but also the work that they should be doing is not being done.
Carolee, we got to get out of here, but thanks for hopping on real quick, and we'll try to do it again next week.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. Thanks so much for having me.
No problem. She's running in that second congressional district as a Republican, Carolee Dobson. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.